Business books present you with inspiration and guidance in, well, let's say primarily two ways. They can come at you in a motivational, cheerleader, rah-rah type of manner, or with factual details about accomplishments and the decisions behind them. My next guest with his book chose the latter of those two options, and that's a great benefit to everyone who reads it, because his experience in the airline industry, I think, will bring to you an understanding of what it takes to succeed in business, as well as confront challenges and be confident in your passion, which might be a foreign way of looking at business. But without a passion, you're kind of going in without a direction too. But get into that with him and more. And I wanted to have him here with those reasons in mind, since many, especially small businesses, are facing challenges in today's times, as well as to discuss what deal making is like, especially with, you might have heard about this guy, Donald Trump. That's in his book. And those are just some of the things he reveals in his book, Flying for Peanuts, Tough Deals, Steep Bargains, and Revolution in the Sky. He led the largest airline holding company in the free world, included Continental, Eastern Airlines, Texas Air, People Express. We say good morning to Frank Lorenzo. Thank you so much for being here today, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Nice to be on with you.
And website to find out more about Flying for Peanuts. If you're assuming the obvious, you're correct, flyingforpeanuts.com. And I was reading, Mr. Lorenzo, that this wasn't a quick effort on your part. You spent a couple of decades contemplating and really taking care of doing this book. And it shows, too, because I said to Frank off the air, so many business books just give you the hows and the what's and the whys. But you do the what, the why, and how you got to those points, which I think is a huge difference.
Well, thank you, Chris. Yes, I started the book over 25 years ago because I really felt that it was important to get the story out of what was really going on rather than the image that was portrayed by the unions of being tough managers and insensitive to our people and that sort of stuff. I felt very strongly about it. I started out, and we did some interviews, in fact, with my mother who passed away. She had some great insights, which she never gave us as kids. But, you know, what happened is, as time went on, I increasingly just wanted to look ahead. I didn't want to spend a lot of time looking back. We were busy in what we were doing. Although, you know, through the 2010s, I managed to put together quite a few pages. We got up to 100,000 words by 2020, and at that point, I really got religion and decided to get the book out. Although putting a book together was far more complicated than I realized. But here we are today. We have Flying for Peanuts. It's done. I'm very proud of the book. I think it turned out nicely. We've gotten very nice reactions to it. And, you know, in addition, obviously, to setting the record straight, the book, as you pointed out, is a very interesting book for people undergo, and goodness knows as many companies and people in that situation today, undergoing major change in their business, like we did. We had a massive change in the airline industry brought about by airline deregulation, and we were the smallest of 18 airlines. So we had to reshuffle our cards and figure out what we could do with the hand we had. Another attractive part about the book, it was told to me that that the rags to riches element was an interesting thing for people to have a chance to see. We started out, I am the son of Spanish immigrants, and we started out with $6,000 when we were 26, my partner and I. And we started out with an office in the public library, and that's how we started. And 5 years later, we were able to buy a position in this tiny airline that everybody thought was going to go out of business, Texas International Airlines. But I was reminded of it in an email I literally got on April 7th, so a week ago, from a young guy who was a sky cap in Fort Myers, where I got on an airplane. And he talked about in his email how he bought the book and it was an inspiration to him and how he wanted to be an entrepreneur like me, and he's never going to give up trying his dream. He even kidded about having Gallego, which is a Spanish term, in him also because he has grandparents from Spain. But anyway, I really got a kick out of this email because it just really reminded me of yet another value in getting our story out there.
You mentioned the reputation that you gained, and reputations, depending on who is comprehending about what there is about that person, can either be factual, false, or somewhere in between. But how can a reputation, if someone is believing you are something you're not, can that be used to your benefit? You referenced the union, for example. If you were perceived by some as a real hard, tough business owner, and you were, as you say in your book too, you're more deliberative and you had open ears and open mind. You weren't a dictator by any stretch of the imagination. You were a leader, to be sure. But if someone is thinking of you in a way that you can turn into a power for you, is that important?
Well, it's very funny you mentioned that, Chris, because that's actually a very interesting point. The unions did two things. They made me out to be this really tough guy, insensitive, that ate my kids for breakfast and my employees for lunch kind of guy. But that I was this brilliant finance guy that belonged on Wall Street. And, of course, I was neither of the two because we were hardly brilliant finance guys. And, of course, we weren't insensitive to our people at all. I just had a speaking engagement this week in Houston where I had 50 employees, mostly employees and members of the Continental family, come out and listen to me talk. And they even kidded me about there being an ex-con club at United of former Continental employees. But anyway, that's a very basic part of what we've done.
No one bats 1,000. I mean, we always hope we can, but reality is going to be the ruler there. But what's important to know that can lessen the hurt of something which doesn't succeed? Because certainly a failure is not what we want, but how we deal with it is what helps us not just overcome it, but learn from it.
Yes, goodness knows we made mistakes, and we tried to do the best we could with them, but mistakes. Our acquisition of control of Eastern Airlines, for example, was a big mistake. We misunderstood, we misjudged the ability we would have to change the cost structure of the company, to have the unions realize that the company couldn't survive with what it was doing. But just as Frank Borman, the astronaut, had been unsuccessful while he was running Eastern, we also were unsuccessful. And sadly, Eastern folded up in January of 1991 because of the airline unions just would not face up to the realities of what was going on.
Talking with Frank Lorenzo, his book Flying for Peanuts, Tough Deals, Steep Bargains, and Revolution in the Skies, flyingforpeanuts.com, the website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. You mentioned Eastern. That leads us to the Eastern Airlines shuttle, and that's where Donald Trump enters the picture. We certainly hear him now and most recently about his promise regarding making deals with Ukraine and Russia to end the war. He was going to do that day one. That fell apart. He seems to want to make deals. He talks about people wanting to make deals. He never gets specifics from him. What was your decision to sit down and try to deal with Donald Trump regarding the Eastern shuttle?
We were very reluctant to sell any assets of Eastern But when the losses piled up, we realized that we had to try to sell something from Eastern. And Eastern had a number of separable assets, certain routes, and one of them was the Eastern Shuttle, which was a completely separate operation. It was relatively small, about 5% of the company. And, of course, it was very big in New York, Boston, and Washington. So when we thought about selling it, one of the names that popped right up was Trump, because the president in those days, well, and maybe continuing too, had a tremendous desire for properties that sort of were like his Plaza Hotel. In fact, we used to kiddingly, in talking to Trump, we used to kiddingly say that, you know, that this is our Plaza Hotel that we were selling him. You know, that became very, very, very important, and that's why he was attractive and why I approached him and began this one-year dance in putting the deal together. It was a long, complicated deal that had to get government approvals, and one time he tried to back out of the deal, and, you know, on and on.
We have to wrap up here, but if you're sitting down to make a deal with someone and you see someone on the other side that's eager with an ego, is that easy to play for a win for yourself?
Well, we had a very funny incident. Actually, at the time, it wasn't so funny, but Trump, the shuttle, well, Eastern went on strike in the spring of 89. And Eastern went on strike. We kept the shuttle operating, but during the strike, the traffic in the shuttle dropped. The deal hadn't been completed yet. We hadn't gotten final government approval. And Trump had a provision in the contract that he had already signed 6 months before that he could walk away, that he had a force majeure. And we knew that. And we were very, very straight about that. So one morning, I get this call from our general counsel that Trump had announced that he was stopping the deal because he wanted a lower price. He wanted to cut up. It was a $365 million deal, and he wanted to take $150 million off that price. Well, we knew the first thing we would do is just get another competitor into the picture, which we did. Although we had to sort of the one strong competitor we had, we were sort of dressing them up a little bit because we didn't think they could ever really finance the deal, and that was a small airline called America West. But finally, after about 5 days, Trump kept calling. His secretary was calling, wanting to get together with us and renegotiate. And we sat down and we told him that, you know, we weren't touching the price, even though he had said he wasn't going ahead unless it was a $150 million reduction. But what we did do is we said to him, look, we know that you need some more of the airplanes that the shuttle supplies. And we went to our desert where we had parked a bunch of old 727-100s, and we gave him three more of those airplanes. And when I sat down finally with him at the Plaza Hotel, we had one of our many breakfasts, I said to him, I said, look, we won't touch the price, but what we will do is give you three more airplanes. And he said, oh, great. And we put out a press release that afternoon, which was designed to make it seem like he had really knocked us over, and got a major change in the deal, major reduction in what he was actually effectively paying. And you know, we knew that he had a big ego. We had we had to deal with it. Although I do have to say, you know, many businessmen have egos, so it's not just but Trump certainly had one we had to deal with.
And certainly, if you, it depends how you use your ego too, for positive empowerment or to make yourself open to being, well, I don't know if taking advantage of is the right idea, but not getting the full potential of what you're looking for. But these are just some of the stories. And if you're a business maven or wannabe maven, you're going to get some guidance and direction from all of Frank's stories. If you're a nut for airline history, that's in there too. You'll see a lot of names, including the aforementioned Donald Trump, that you'll certainly recognize and learn more about. And you really get an idea of no matter what you want to do, without a passion, you're not going to get there. And that's your starting point. If you have to question your passion, you're going to have a lot of questions after that. It's all that and more, as they say in those infomercials, and flying for peanuts, tough deals, steep bargains, and revolution in the skies. He did indeed lead that website, flyingforpeanuts.com. Frank Lorenzo, thank you for taking all this time to share so many great stories and education as well for so many reasons and so many uses. Thank you as well for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me.